Perkech Vyashim, the 21st chapter of Hilchos Isurabiyah. Aleph, Kolabal Erva Min Arayos, Derech Evarim. If one had intercourse with one of the forbidden relationships, he had it through one of the organs or limbs of the body, not in the genital area. O Shechibek Vinishik Derech Taiva Vinana Bekir Basar. Or if he hugged and kissed in a lustful manner and he derived pleasure from the closeness of the flesh, then he gets flogged by Torah law. It says, that you should not do the abominable statutes. It also says, do not come close to uncover the shame. That means, don't come near those things that lead to sexual immorality. So even though he didn't have intercourse in the sense that he's liable to the severe penalty, but this coming close, the sexual attraction, is a violation of the Torah law. So if anyone does any of these things, he's suspected of violating the laws of sexual conduct. A person is forbidden to make signs with his hands or feet or with his eyes to one of the forbidden relationships, or to play with her, or to be lightheaded with her, even to smell the perfumes that she's wearing or to look at her beauty is forbidden. We flog someone who intends to do these things with a rabbinic flogging. If one looks even at the little finger of a woman and has intention of enjoying it, it's as if he would have looked at the genital area. Even to hear the voice of the woman who is forbidden to him or to look at her hair is forbidden. These things are also forbidden for those whose violation is only a negative commandment. You are, however, allowed to look at the face of an unmarried woman to check her, to see if you want to marry her, whether she is a virgin or not. To see if she's appropriate in his eyes that he'll marry her, and there's no prohibition involved. It's commendable, it's right that he does this. You shouldn't look in an immodest way at her. As the Pasuk says, I made a covenant with my eyes, and I would not gaze upon a virgin. A person is allowed to look at his wife when she is Anita, even though Anita is a forbidden relationship. Even though he has pleasure in the heart by looking at her. Since she's permitted him after a while, in a vabazel lidva mirshul, he doesn't come to a stumbling block through this. But he shouldn't play around or act in a lightheaded manner with her. Shemiyagel avera, maybe this will get him used to doing sins. You're not allowed to use the services of a woman at all, whether an adult or a minor, whether a maid servant or a freed servant, because he might come to bad thoughts. Bezashim Hashamru, what use are we referring to that you're not allowed to make use of a woman? Mechitzas panav yada v'raglav, it says mita lefanav. To wash his hands, feet, and his hands, arms, and feet, and to make the bed in his presence. Mezigas hakos, as well as the pouring of the cup of wine, and the adding of the water to it, as they used to. Shinosa le'ish dvarmelo aleish tubavad. These things are usually reserved that the wife of a man does them for him. And Shalom B'Shalom Isha Klal V'filo Adei Shaliach. You do not send inquiries of the well-being of a woman to greet her even through a messenger. V'avim Chabekachs Menorai Shein Libo Shaladim Nakfo Aleihem. If a person hugs one of the forbidden relationships where a person is not really tempted to do anything with them, or if he kissed one of them, for example, his adult sister, and his aunt, his mother's sister, kiyotzmen and the like, apishin sham taiva v'lo no klal, even though there is no lust or pleasure at all, is a maguna biyosa, this is very not nice, davasahu, and it's forbidden to do this, and maisa tipshimhu, and it's a foolish act. Shem kriven erva klal bing dol bing tana, one shouldn't approach and come near to an erva at all, whether she is an adult or a minor, chutzmeim levnav avlevito, with the exception of a mother to her son and a father to his daughter. A father is allowed to hug and kiss his daughter, and she can sleep with him close flesh to flesh. Similarly, a mother can do this with her son, provided that the children are still little. Then they can sleep together. Once they grow up, and the son is grown, or the daughter is grown, she has breasts already, she has larger breasts already, and pubic hair. At that point on, they're not allowed to sleep together with flesh touching flesh. They can only sleep each one wearing his garment. If the daughter was embarrassed to stand naked in front of her father, or she's married, or if the mother is already ashamed to stand before the son when she's naked, in that case, even if the son or the daughter are minors, once you've come to the point of being embarrassed in their presence, you cannot sleep with them unless they're dressed, unless they're clothed. Women who engage in sexual play with one another, Asr is forbidden. These are considered the Egyptian type acts which we are warned against. It says, do not do the acts of the land of Egypt. What did they do? Ish nosa ish, a man would marry a man. Visha nosa isha, a woman would marry a woman. Visha nisus nosa nosa, where a woman would marry two men. Now, even though this sexual play among women is forbidden, there is no flogging for it. There is no specific prohibition, especially for this, just the general prohibition of not to emulate the Egyptian ways. This is not considered intercourse at all. Therefore, they're not forbidden for kahuna because it's not considered harlotry. And a woman would not be forbidden to her husband if she does this. This is not considered as harlotry. For however, they should be flogged by rabbinic law since they are performing a violation. A man should be careful with his wife concerning this matter, and he should not let women who are known to do this go in and out of his house. A man's wife is permitted to him, therefore he can do whatever he wants sexually with his wife. He may have intercourse whenever he wants to. He may kiss any organ or limb that he chooses to, that he wants to. He may have intercourse in the regular or the irregular manner, provided that he does not wastefully emit the semen. Nevertheless, even though it's permitted, it is a pious behavior not to be lightheaded in these matters. And he should sanctify himself during the time of intercourse, as we've explained in the laws of Deus. He should not deviate from the normal way of the world and its custom, because the reason of the intercourse is to be fruitful and to multiply. Yud, a man is forbidden to have intercourse by the light of a lamp. For Shabbos, he didn't have another room and the light was burning. He should not have intercourse at all. A Jew is forbidden to have intercourse by day. It's considered immodest. If he's a sage who will not, as a result, make this into a habit, she can darken the area by covering it with the garment and engage in intercourse. this thing shouldn't be done unless there's a great need for it. And it is a manner of holiness to have intercourse in the middle of the night.
The
sages are not pleased with a person who engages in intercourse very often, and he's found around his wife like a rooster. It's a very bad thing, and it's a very boorish thing. Whoever has less intercourse is praiseworthy. Provided that he does not do less than his required amount, unless his wife gives him permission. The original law that the Balkari, the man who had an emission of semen, should immerse in the mikveh, and they should not read the Torah at Shidbolu until they immerse in the mikveh. The only reason they did that, to discourage the men from having intercourse too often. The sages forbade a person to have intercourse while his heart is thinking about another woman. You shouldn't have intercourse if he's drunk, or if they had a fight, or if there's hatred. He should not have intercourse with his wife if he forces her and she's afraid of him. Not when one of them is under the ban. He shouldn't have intercourse with her once he's decided to divorce her. If he did so, the children will not be good. Some of them will be arrogant and rebellious people. The sages said that any woman who is audacious and asks verbally for intercourse, or if someone seduces a woman and says he will marry her, he intends to have intercourse with one wife, Rachel, and he unintentionally had intercourse with another wife, Leah, or some woman who didn't wait for 3 months after her first husband's divorce or death and remarried, and the child is doubtful. We don't know if he's the son of the first father or the second. In all of these cases, the children born of such an act, they are the rebellious ones who are selected and purified through the suffering of the exile. A man is not allowed to have intercourse with his wife in the marketplaces, in the public places, the gardens, in the orchards, but in a house. It shouldn't look like whoring, and they shouldn't get used to a non-holy way of having intercourse. If one has intercourse with his wife in these places, he gets flogged by rabbinic law. If someone betroths a woman through intercourse, or if someone betroths a woman in a public place, or somebody betroths without previously discussing this with his with a woman, makanos makas mardus, these are all immodest things, and he's flogged by rabbinic law. A guest is not allowed to engage in intercourse till he comes back to his house. Similarly, the sages forbade a man to live in his father-in-law's house. It's considered immodest. Neither should he enter with him to the bathhouse. A man shouldn't enter with his father to the bathhouse, nor with his sister's husband, nor with a student. If he needed a student, mutter is permitted. In some places, the custom is that two brothers should not enter together into the bathhouse. Jewish women should not go with their hair uncovered in the marketplace, including an unmarried woman as well as a married woman. A woman shouldn't walk in the marketplace with her little son after her. Perhaps they will seize her son. She'll go to get him back. And the wicked people who grabbed him for a joke will do evil things to her. Rape her, I guess. The idea of prue rosh may mean also not just uncovered hair, but hair in a wild fashion. so that even a basula, an unmarried woman, should have her hair in a modest fashion. It's forbidden to emit semen uselessly. Therefore, a man should not have the intercourse and he started inside but ejaculate outside. And for the same reason, you shouldn't marry a minor girl who is still unfit to bear children. Those who masturbate and thus remove the semen, not only is this a great prohibition, one who does this is under the ban. Concerning them, it says, your hands are filled with blood. It is as if they would have killed a person. A man is not allowed to purposely cause himself to have an erection, or bring himself to thinking sexual thoughts. And if a thought comes to him, he should remove his mind from foolish words to words of Torah, foolish matters to matters of Torah. Torah is something of like a gazelle of love and grace. For this reason, a man is not allowed to sleep on his back in front of a model with his face up. He has to be a little bit on the side. He shouldn't come to have an erection. He shouldn't gaze upon an animal or a wild beast or a bird when a male and female are mating. Those people who are mating animals are allowed to put in the male organ into the female as one would put in the dying thing into the tube. They're doing their work. They won't have bad thoughts. A man is not allowed to look at a woman during the time that she's standing on the place of washing the clothing, because it's immodest. Even to look at the woolen clothing, or in some versions, the dyed clothing of a woman who he knows is forbidden. That they shouldn't lead him to having immoral thoughts. If a man met a woman in the marketplace, he is forbidden to walk after her. If he should go quickly and see to it that she goes to his, that he is at her side or she is behind him. Whoever walks in the marketplace behind a woman, he is a light leveled ignoramus. You're not allowed to pass before the door of a prostitute until you're 4 cubits away. It says, "Otikov al pesach beisa." Do not come near the door of her house. A man who is not married is not allowed to put his hands to his testicles. Shlo yovel to hear her, so he should not come to thinking bad thoughts. Even under his navel, he shouldn't put his hand. Shema yovel to hear her, maybe he'll come to bad thoughts. If he urinates, he shouldn't hold on to the penis when he does so, when he urinates. If he was married, it's permitted. Whether he's married or not married, he shouldn't touch his penis unless he has to go to the bathroom and urinate. Among the great sages and wise men, one of them boasted that he never looked at his penis. Others boasted that he never looked at the image of his wife. Because his heart is turned away from foolish things to truth. They hold on to the hearts of the holy. It's a mitzvah of the sages that a man should marry off his sons and daughters close to their puberty. If he leaves them, they may come to sexual misconduct or to bad thoughts. Concerning this, it says you will remember your house and not sin. That is to say, you'll make sure that your children get married early. You're not allowed to marry off a woman to a minor boy because that's considered like harlotry. A man is not allowed to sit without a woman. He shouldn't marry an akara, a woman incapable of having children, or an old woman who is no longer fit to conceive. A woman has a right never to get married if she doesn't want to. Or she can get married to a man who is incapable of having a child. A young man should marry an old woman, nor should an old man marry a young girl. Because these things cause whoring. If a man divorced his wife, who he was married to, not only betrothed to, but married, she shouldn't live with him in the same courtyard. Maybe they'll come to immoral relationships. If it was a Kohen, she shouldn't live in that whole plaza. In a small village is considered like a mavoi because it's so small. If she owed him money, he should send a messenger to ask for it. If a divorced woman came with a divorced husband to the court, banned them, or makanosam, makas matas, so we flogged them, because they shouldn't be associating with one another. However, if she was divorced only after being betrothed, she can take him to a judgment, and she can live in the same place, or the same courtyard with him. However, if he was very close to her, we're afraid that they may engage in immorality, even from the betrothal it would be forbidden. If they can't live together, who is pushed away from whom? She's pushed away from him. She has to move. However, if the courtyard belonged to her, then he would have to move because of her. You're not allowed to marry a woman if your intention is to divorce her. As it says, don't plan evil to your friend when he's sitting trustingly with you. If he told her in the first place that he's marrying her only for a short while, she knows it, then it's permitted. A man should marry a woman in one country and another woman in another, because maybe a lot of time will pass, and unknowingly a brother will marry his sister, or the sister of his mother, or the sister of his father, and the like, without knowing it. And if he's a well-known man, and everyone knows who his children are, he's a mutter, then it's permitted, because they'll know if they're related or not. A man should not marry a woman from a family that has a history of leprosy, nor from that with a history of epilepsy, provided that this is a pattern, that at least three times this happens to the children of that family. If a woman married two men and they both died, she should not marry a third man. If she got married anyway, well, says that she does not have to get divorced. Feeling the scotcha yichnos. Even if he only betrothed her, he may consummate the marriage. Leisa Yisrael Amaretz Kohenes, an ignorant Jewish man, an Israelite man, should not marry the daughter of a Kohen. She's like Mochilul Azar Shalaron. That's like a desecration to the children of Aaron. Yunasam Ruchacham means Zivugum Olayof. If he did marry her, the sages say the marriage will not work out well. Alameis Blavonim, he'll die without children. Alameis Hu, Ohi Bimheira, or he or she will die soon. Well, they'll have arguments between them. A sage who married the daughter of a Kohen, this is fitting and praiseworthy. Because you have Torah and the Kohuna, the priesthood, together. A man should marry the daughter of an ignorant person. For should he die or be exiled, his children will be raised ignorant because his wife's family doesn't know any Torah. Because his mother, their mother of the child, will not know the glory of the Torah. You shouldn't let your daughter marry an ignorant man. Anyone who gives his daughter to an Amoretz is as if he would have tied her up and given her to a lion. Because an Amoretz hits and has intercourse without any shame. A man should sell everything that he has in order to marry a woman who is the daughter of a sage. Because should he die or be exiled, his children will be sages. He should make sure that his daughter marries a sage. For there is nothing bad, or there are no fights and arguments in the house of a sage.